So come on now. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Come on, let's make some noise. Man, it's so good to see you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're first time or first time in a long time, we just want to say welcome to Better Life Church. We also want to welcome everyone watching online all the way across the world, which blows me away. Can we give it up for those who are watching online today? Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Guys, listen, I just want to let you know, you picked a great Sunday to be here, but we have some incredible things lined up for this fall. We don't want you to miss it. I just want to keep, God's doing something in this house. Look around. God is up to something great. You keep inviting, you keep bringing people, because we believe that the best is yet to come. So come on, let's just pray and ask God to do something today. Father, thank you that you gave us breath this morning. That, Father, the only reason why we are here is because you woke us up. Your spirit has drawn us here. No one is here by mistake. No one is here by accident this morning. For some reason, you want us to be here in your presence. So, Father, we are here, and we come expecting to hear from you, expecting that our lives will be changed. God, that we would be edified and built up through the preaching of your word this morning, that when we leave here, we will not be the same. So, Holy Spirit, draw us, convict us, convince us, show us the truth in your word this morning. And God, more than anything else, help us to see Jesus. Help us to encounter Jesus this morning. For if we will see Jesus, we will not leave this place the same. For it's in his name that we ask and we pray. Come on now, and everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, worship team. Look at the person beside you, say, hey, you look good. Glad you're here today. Go ahead and tell them. Yeah. Look back at him, say, you don't look bad yourself. You know what I'm saying? You look pretty good too. Looking good today. Man, it is so good to see you all. We're in part three of this series, Who Am I? I just really believe that if Christians can understand who they are in Christ, I mean, it would change our life. It would change how we live. It would change how we interact with our spouses. It would change how we interact with our children. If we can just get who we are in Christ. So I have a question for you this morning. When you think about that, I got a word. When you think of the word holy, like when the word like holy or holiness comes to your mind, what do you see? Think about it right now. What's the first thing that pops in your mind when you think of the word holy? Right? Some of you are elbowing each other. You know, you're not thinking about the person sitting beside you. Right? Like, who do you picture or what comes to your mind when you think of holy? So I decided to go to Google. I want to know what Google thinks about holiness. So I went to Google and I researched the word holy, and there's a link that you can click above it called images, right? And so you can click on images and it kind of shows you anybody who's tagged holy or what holiness may look like in a picture. And so there's like clouds and doves and crosses and cathedrals, and someone tagged Beyonce and Nicki Minaj and Rihanna, like they call them the Trinity. I was like, okay, all right, maybe Google, you know, Google maybe onto something here, right? And so when you think about the word holiness, like what comes to your mind? What picture? What picture? Now, everyone has that, right? You have something in your mind. But there's a question for you. Have you ever considered or thought of yourself as you being someone who's holy? I mean, think about it. Like on your Twitter handle, it says like holy, right? You're like, you're holy, like, right? Have you ever thought about like you being holy? Like, am I holy? And what in the world is this even word holy means? Because here's the reality, let's just face it, unless you're like me, this is how I feel. Man, there's a lot of times I don't feel holy. I don't act holy. I don't say holy things. So how did we get to this point? How did we get to the point where we wake up every morning, kind of not, we don't feel real holy, like in the mind or the word you think holy comes to mind? So we got to go all the way back to the beginning. So let's go back to the beginning, right? God creates everything. He creates the universe, the stars, the moon, the planet. He creates all this stuff, and he creates the animals and all these great things, and then he creates man. And he said, man, what I've created is good. I've created man in my own image. But one day, God realized it's not good for man to be alone, so I'm going to create him a woman. And so God, the Bible says, set apart a woman for man. And here we see God instituting the first institution ever, which was marriage. And God takes marriage and he sets it apart between a man and a woman. We don't get to redefine that. God defines that. It's between one man, one woman for the rest of your life. He says, this is set apart because I have something special, holy, for this. Well, here's Adam and Eve, right? I mean, everything's going great. They feel no shame. They feel no guilt. They have no problems. I mean, things are life. There's great with them. They're righteous. They're pure. And then all of a sudden, sin entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world, guess what happens? We feel guilty, we feel dirty, we feel unholy, we don't feel righteous. In fact, honestly, the theological answer, the reason why bad things happens to anybody, is because sin. The reason why someday you will die is because sin. The reason why people get cancer is because of sin. The reason why our hearts break is because of sin. Sin brings suffering into the world. God didn't cause it. God allowed it. He gave us a choice, a free will. And our parents, Adam and Eve, they blew it. And sin entered into the world. And because sin entered into the world, you wake up some days that you do unholy things and you don't feel holy yourself. So at that very moment, God separated himself from man. Why? Because he's a holy, righteous God. And a holy, good, righteous God cannot be around this presence of this unholiness or sin. Or we can't be in his presence because we would die. So as early as in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see something remarkable. God already had this figured out. God said, you know what? There's got to be a way that I can bring back man and restore our relationship with them. And as early as in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see that God begins to make a way to redeem mankind. That someday me and you, unholy, unrighteous people, can get in the presence of a holy, righteous God. And so we know what happens, right? Jesus comes. And Jesus comes and God comes to us because we can't go to him. So God becomes man, a sinless person, comes, lives on this earth, and then dies a death that we can't even fathom. Why? So that he can make a way for you and me to become holy, so that we could now enter into his presence. Not because you go to church, not because you read your Bible, not because you tithe, not because you're good, but because of what Jesus did for us. And so God says, I'm going to make a way for you to become holy again. I'm going to restore what Adam and Eve lost in the garden, the relationships that we had, and I'm going to restore you back to this fellowship, to this holiness with me. Why? The really reason is because God's holy. And he demands us to be holy. I mean, he is. There's no greater attribute than all the Bible that describes God more than holiness. It's used over 900 times in the Old and the New Testament. God is love, and God is just, and he is good, and he is righteous. But the word holy describes God more than any other attribute, in any other adjective in the Bible. Why? Because he is holy. And guess what? As children of God, as believers, as Christian, God commands us to be holy. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, because I think the same way. How do you do that? I mean, we live in a holy, righteous world that's around us. How do I live holy when I don't feel holy and there's so much unholiness around me? I am so glad you asked that question. Get in your Bibles. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And 1 Peter chapter 2, this is our foundational verse for this series. Now, if you missed, I want to encourage, I'm going to recap here just in a moment. You can go back and watch any of our services online. We'd love for you to do so and catch up with us. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9, there's this descriptions that Peter says that Christians are now. And that's why we're in this series called Who Am I, right? Because most Christians, honestly, listen, most of us, we don't know who we are. And if we just can grasp who we are in Christ, I'm telling you, it can change your life. So let's look here at verse 9. I'm using the ESV translation. It says this, but you, singular, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So let's recap here, because we've already knocked out two of these. The first one says we're a chosen race. Now, how do I get part of a chosen race? Where God's not interested in changing your skin color. He's not trying to change the tribe you come from. The only way you can become part of a chosen race is to change your heart. And when your heart changes, it makes you part of the chosen race. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you read right before that in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says Jesus is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone that has been rejected by man. But every single person who doesn't reject Jesus is now in him. So here's what that looks like. The Bible says that God chose Jesus to be the cornerstone. And anyone who gives their life to Jesus is in Christ, which makes me chosen because he's the chosen one. Sorry, LeBron, Jesus is, all right? He's the chosen one. And because he is chosen and I'm in him, that makes me chosen. I'm part of the chosen family of God. So every single one of you who give your life to Jesus, guess what happens? God takes you from this side of the cross and places you on this side in his family. We are the chosen family of God. That is awesome. Imagine if you could get up every day of your life knowing that I am a child of God, that God is my father. What? And when you're facing things at work and you know God's your father, could you imagine? You can look at things at work going, you know who my father is, huh? You know who my father is. I can stare down anything in my life because I know who my daddy is. I know who my father is. So gosh, if we could grasp that. And then last week we talked about we're part of this royal priesthood. Now you're like, man, I don't feel like a priest. I don't walk around look like a priest. What do you mean? What that only thing that means is now that I'm in Christ, I have access to God 24/7. I don't have to go through a priest. I don't have to go through it. The curtain has been torn. If you missed last week, you go back and watch it, because now you and I have 24 access to God. Why? Not because you're good and not because you deserve it. It's because you're in Christ. See, if we're in Christ, we get everything that Christ gets. We're joint heirs with him. So if he's chosen, I'm chosen. If he's royal, I'm royal. If he gets to the Father, I now get to come to the Father. Why? Because I'm in him. But then today, he says, you're a holy nation. That applies to you as a Christian. What do you mean that I am a holy nation? Well, what does the word holy even mean? Well, in Hebrew and in Greek, the very simplest form, it means to be set apart. It means God picks something up and he sets it apart for something special. This is actually kind of a two-point message here. I've got something to add to this to next week as well, so you need to come back. But you've been set apart. So anything holy, like God's holy, which means he's set apart from anything else. Like he's set apart. He is so holy. But the word holy really just means to be set apart. So for us to really grasp this confusion, because here's the reality, I'm a holy nation, but man, I don't feel holy. We got to think through this. So imagine this, you're a Jew and you're sitting here and you listen to Peter write this, or you read this and you're like, wait a second. What do you mean Gentiles and everyone is part of this holy nation? Where does it come from? Well, go back to Genesis and God looks at Abraham and says, I'm going to build my foundation on you. I'm going to usher in the Israelites through you. Your genealogy, you're going to have numerous as the stars. And you're going to create up a nation that everyone's going to look to you and you're going to proclaim who I am. And you're going to bless them and they're going to bless you. And whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless them. And you're going to proclaim that I'm the only one true Yahweh. There's no other God like me. And the little group of Israel is the one God in his sovereignty charged. But when you read through the scripture, guess what we found out? Israel failed. And they didn't carry out to do what God had called them to do. So God sends his son Jesus that opens the door that whosoever believes in him shall be part of this family, shall be part of this priesthood, shall be part, guess what, of a holy nation. Now, God just don't just set Israel apart. Now, there's a special place for Israel to play for the coming of Christ. We know that. But God says everyone who's in Christ is now set apart. You are now part of the holy nation. You're part of the family. So what do I do with this dichotomy between I don't feel holy, but I'm called to be holy? I don't live holy, I don't talk holy, but the Bible says I'm holy. How do I figure that out? Well, first of all, we got to jump in to think through this theologically. So let me walk you through this theologically. So I'm a sinner, I'm far from God, I hear the gospel preached, and I give my life to Jesus. I'm saved. And some people are like, what are you saved from? I am saved from the wrath of God. God will not pour his wrath out on me ever. Why? Because Jesus took my punishment. Jesus took my wrath for me. That's why he came. And so the moment that I give my life to Jesus, God teleports me. I am picked up and now I'm placed in Christ. And everything Christ has and is, so am I. Christ is chosen, that makes me chosen. Christ is royal priest, that makes me part of the priest. And watch this. And because he is holy, he's the holy one, that makes me holy. So theologically, positionally, I'm holy. I am in Christ, which makes me holy. Which the good news about that is I don't have to try to become holy, I already am. See, that's a perspective shift in your mind. I don't have to work to try to come. Maybe if I go to church, maybe if I read my Bible, maybe if I drop a 20 in a bucket when it passes by, maybe if I go to the Red Room and sign up for something, maybe if I'm about to, that makes me holy. We don't have to try to become holy. We are. And listen, we've talked about this over and over and over. It's not what you do that determines who you are. It's who you are that determines what you do. And if you can get that and grasp that, that can change your life because it changes your perspective. So positionally, if I'm in Christ, I'm holy. But man, I sure don't wake up feeling and living holy. Well, that's the reality where we are this morning. Just because I'm positionally holy and righteous doesn't guarantee I'm gonna live a holy and righteous life. That means this: I have to practice what I already am positionally. I've got to practice holiness every day of my life. So how do I practice out what I already am? How does that work? I am so glad you asked me that question. Grab your Bible, flip over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Because in this passage, we're going to see some practical advices. That's your Bible study for the moment right there. And we're going to look at some practical ways how I can walk out holiness. Because really, at the end of the day, Christians, are we not called to be holy? Yes, we're not even suggested to be holy. We are commanded to be holy. So how do I live holy? How do I do that in such an unholy place? If you're ready to get started, say, let's go. That's our introduction. Come on, here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. So prepare your minds for actions and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when? When Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways, living and satisfying your own desires. You didn't know any better when you were not saved. You didn't know any better when you was lost. You didn't know any better when you was a foreigner on this side of the cross. But man, you know better now because you were in Christ. So verse 15, but you now must be, say the word with me, holy. Don't miss this part. In everything you do, some of us is in trouble. Your translation may say conduct. Your translation may say behavior. In all your conduct, in all your behavior, in every single word that comes out of your mouth to your spouse, to your kids, to your coworkers, to your teammate, to your waitress or your waiter, everything. Even to the referees, but that's another whole one. That could be bypassed on that if the game's not going the way we go. You could bypass that a little bit on that one. God's a little bit of grace there on that one. And everything you do, be set apart. Be different. Be holy. How do you do that? How do you do that? So here's what we're going to do. I read through this passage here and I came up. There's five things I want to share with you that you can begin to practice holiness. They all start with P. Why? Because this makes it easier to preach when you do that, easier to remember. So I'm going to give you these five words that I want you to write down, take notes. You need to take notes so you can remember this. Why? Because if you're a Christian, you want to practice holiness. How do I do that? How do I do that? So here's the first one if you're taking notes. The first thing you got to do is prepare. You got to prepare for this. How do you prepare? How do I prepare what I'm positionally already am in Christ? How do I do that? Well, look what he says in verse 13. He says, I love when the Bible gives us the point. So easy, right? Prepare your minds for action. Why does he say prepare your mind for action? Because this is the battlefield. Every unholy behavior that you've ever done started right here. He says, in all you do, be holy. He knows this. So he goes to the main place that you've got to work on, which is prepare your mind. You've got to prepare your mind. Every unholy word that came out of your mouth, every unholy statement that comes out of your mouth is because you thought it. Some people you see all the time, you got to think before you speak. Well, scientifically and honestly, you already thought it. That's why you spoke it. You don't speak anything you haven't thought. But you got to be slow to speak in that. And so right here's the battlefield. The enemy wants your mind. People say, well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do it. The devil made it look pretty. The devil lied to you, but you chose to act unholy. You chose to say those unholy words. I can see times in married couples say, well, you made me say it. And if you wouldn't talk like that to me, I wouldn't talk back to you. No one can make you do anything. It's what you believe about that person and you chose to choose to say those things or act that way. And so Peter says this, you've got to prepare your mind. This is the battlefield. This is what the enemy wants. So you've got to watch this. Think on things that are pure and honorable and true and worthy and holy. Well, that's probably the big issue for most of us. Because the most of the stuff we fill our minds with, honestly, today, is unholy. I love movies. I love that stuff. But some of the things we watch, we fill our minds with it. We fill our minds with unholy music, unholy words, unholy toxic things around us. And with all this negativity and all this stuff around it, we fill it. And we wake up going, how come I just don't act holy? I'm going to tell you why. It's because you have not prepared your mind. Because every action you've ever done, all has been done because you felt something. Because feelings leads to behavior. A lot of people want to preach on behavior modification. Behavior is not your problem. Your thinking is your problem. Your belief is your problem. If you change the way you think, you change the way you feel. If you change the way you feel, you change the way you act. So your unholy actions are being produced because you feel something, honestly, because you believe something. Peter says, hey, we got to prepare our minds. You want to practice holiness? You want to practice out what you already positionally in Christ? You've got to prepare your minds for action. Here's the second thing. You got to practice. You got to practice. Where do you get this from? What do you mean you got to practice? Look what he says in the rest of the verse there. He says, exercise self-control. Now, just that seeing that word exercise, most of us says, okay, it's over. I'm not going to be able to do this because I don't like to exercise. Right? Right? Exercise takes discipline to turn into a habit. You got to practice this. You've got to practice self-control in your life. Listen, this sets the tone for the rest of everything I want to say. Watch this. Holiness is a choice. If you want to be holy, set apart to live for your King, it's your choice. No one can make you unholy. No one can make you say those things. I don't care how toxic or bad this circumstance may be. The reason why you act unholy, the reason why I act unholy, and the reason why I say unholy things is because I chose to do it. It's a choice. So if I know it's a choice, guess what? I got to practice self-control. I've got to exercise this discipline to choose to think before I speak, to avoid the temptation situations in my life. In fact, your translation may say, sober up. It's a picture of someone coming off of a hangover, and they've come to their senses going, what am I thinking? Prepare your mind. Practice discipline in your life. Why? Because you have an enemy out there who wants to destroy you. So if I'm going to win in this position that I am and practice holiness, I've got to practice self-control, discipline, to think truly before I speak, to think about, should I actually go and be part of that situation, that circumstance, that environment, because I know all the unholy things that's going to come into my mind? Should I go watch that? I know it. I'm an adult now. I can handle it. I don't need this stuff in my life. I can handle all that stuff. I'm smart now. It don't bother me. And then you wake up in the morning going, how come I feel dirty? We got to practice this and exercise self-control if we want to walk in the holiness that God has called us to. Here's the third one. You got to persevere. You need to persevere. And this one's a big one. This one's a big one for me. You need to persevere. What do I need to persevere? Look what he says. Look what he says in the Bible. He says this, that you need to prepare your mind for actions, verse 13, practice and exercise self-control. And then he says, put all your hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. This is a guaranteed of expectation. This is going to happen. That kind of hope. Hope in what? His grace. His grace of his salvation and the gift he's given me. I've got to persevere in grace that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. How do I continue to walk through this unholy world and try to live out holiness when I blow it all the time? Listen, we have to persevere in his grace. Now watch this. When I gave my life to Jesus, God took me, pardoned me, put me into the family of God, and he chose never to remember my sins again. Now I want you to think about that. He chose to forgive me of my past sin, my present sin, and you ready for this? My future sin. Every sin Jesus forgave me, it was already future. I wasn't even born yet. So every sin I ever did, doing, and will do, he completely chooses never to remember them anymore or hold them against me. You know what that's called? Grace. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I can't be good enough for it. In fact, listen, this is so crazy that I literally, theologically, cannot out-sin God's grace in my life. Now, some people have a problem with that because here's what they say. Well, Pastor, that just gives me a license to sin and I can go sin and do whatever I want. If that's your mindset, then listen to me. You don't know Jesus. Because when I understand that I deserve hell and he's forgiven me of all my sin, and every time I mess up and every time I screw up, he forgives me and his grace covers me, that makes me not want to sin. And it took me 13 years as a preacher to grasp that. Oh, I can preach grace. I can extend grace. I just couldn't receive it. There's no way, God, you can forgive me. You don't know what I've, you know what I've done, what I've said, what I've tried, what I've come from. And it took me 13 years as a believer to really go, you know what? It's his grace. It's his mercy. I don't know why he wants to forgive me. I don't know why he wants to secure me. I don't know why he wants to take me on and be with him for eternity. I don't deserve it. He's like, you don't deserve it. That's called grace. That's not fair. That's grace. And because I am in Christ, I'm chosen. I'm royal. And even when I don't feel it, I'm holy. Why? Not because of me. It's because of him and who I'm in. See, if you can grasp grace, I promise you, you'll wake up different every day. Because let me tell you what happens when you truly understand grace. Peace. A peaceful soul in your heart going, I am right with God. Not because I'm good, not because I came to church, not because I read my Bible, not because I tithe. It's because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And there's nothing greater to bring peace in your life than understanding grace. And the Bible says you will trip and you will fall and you will continue to sin. And this is an unholy world. If it hated Jesus, what do you expect it's going to hate you? But guess what? Remember this. Persevere in that gracious gift of salvation. I delivered you from this world. And you walk in that grace that I've given you. I'm telling you what, that will change your life. If I could just understand and get that. Here's the fourth one. I got two more. We'll wrap up. Progress. I've got to keep progressing. I got to keep progressing. How do I do that? Well, verse 14. You must live. You must progress through life. You must keep going through life. Look what he says. As God's obedient children. Where are my parents at? Don't we love when our kids obey us? Come on. Right? Don't you? Isn't it amazing how we reward our kids when they obey us? Right? They disobey us. You ungrateful little varmint. What are you doing? Right? And that never happens in my house at all. At all. I don't know who would ever say that to their kid. But then all of a sudden, what happens when they obey? Oh my gosh, Jimmy's an angel. He is so good. Oh, he's the best kid on the planet. Oh. Right? I mean, we get crazy when they obey. And we reward them, right? Like, you're growing up. You obey. That's right. I didn't even have to ask you to pick your dirty clothes up. You did it. Oh my gosh, Jesus is coming back. Right? I mean, it's crazy. The Bible says we progress in this world. We progress in our sanctification. We progress in our holiness when we obey his word. Isn't it amazing? So many people want to say the Bible is just so hard to understand. And the Bible is not really hard to understand. I mean, yeah, there's some place in the Bible I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm being honest with you. I just don't. And I just don't understand it. Maybe on this side of heaven I wasn't meant to understand it. But the Bible is not really hard to understand. It's hard to apply. Like, go forgive the person who walked out on you. You understand that, don't you? Man, that's hard to do. Oh, here's another. Won't you wait to have sex until after you're married? Anybody have a problem understanding that one? Go try to do it. See what I'm saying? Bless those who are less than you financially and be generous to them. I ain't giving nobody nothing. See, the Bible's not hard. It's hard to apply and walk out. And do those things like pray for one another and forgive those who hurt you and wrong you and bless your enemies. No, I don't want to do that. Not that I don't understand it. I just choose not to do that. But he says, if you want to progress in holiness, you want to walk out this sanctification, you want to walk into the position you have, here it is. Just like a children are obedient, just obey my word. And I'll never lead you astray. And all these things that you're trying to pursue, listen, I'll take care of that. Just walk out the word of God and you will progress through life until Jesus comes back. The reality is, though, is this. He left us in this world. And you cannot separate yourself from this world. You can't separate yourself from it. It's all around us. So what do I do in a world that's so unholy, so bent against God? What do I do? And that leads me to my fifth one. And these, we protect ourselves. We've got to protect ourselves and protect what we do. He says this in verse 14. You must live as God's obedient children. And look what he says. Don't slip back. Some of the old time preachers call it backsliding, right? Don't slip back. Watch your step. Protect every step that you take so you don't go back into your old ways of living that satisfies your own selfish desires. See, back then you didn't know any better, but now in Christ you know better. You know better. See, maybe your translation uses the word conform. And what it's trying to say is don't conform into this world. Jesus says it like this, I've saved you from the world, but I left you in it. Well, why'd you leave us in it? Jesus didn't save you to take you to heaven. That's a great perk. But he saved you to leave you here for a purpose. If you have breath this morning, you still have a purpose. And that purpose is a specific purpose that God has for you, but there's also a greater purpose, and that is to continue to advance the kingdom of God. That's why it's important for you to keep inviting people and bring people to a place where they can hear about Jesus. I know that's one reason God's left you here. But how do I do that? Don't conform morally. Don't conform socially. Don't conform behaviorally. You're different. You're set apart. And here's the reality. Call it what it is. Today, you can't really tell the difference between the world and most Christians. And that should sting. Jesus died for me. He transported me into the family of God. I am now family, royal, and holy. I'm supposed to look different. I'm supposed to act different when trials come into my life. I'm supposed to handle things different when they say you've lost your job. I'm supposed to look different when she walks out on you. It hurts. I understand that. But I am supposed to be different. Why? Because I'm set apart. And honestly, we can't really tell the difference today between most Christians and the world. Because you still conform to it. And he says, no, you got to protect yourself. You're in the world and you can't run from it. And you can be in it and not conform to it. Because you're my children. You're supposed to be a little different. You're supposed to handle things a little bit differently. And then he says in verse 15, so with all that, you must be holy, different, set apart in everything you do, in your business dealings, in your marriage, in your parenting, on the court, off the court, at a game, at one, it doesn't matter. You are to be different. And everything you do at work, at home, you are to be different. Just as God who chose you is holy. And then it says in verse 16, for the scripture says, and here's the command, not a suggestion, you must be holy because I'm holy. The reason why I'm supposed to be holy is because positionally, I'm in Christ. I'm already holy. He's given you all the tools you need to walk them out. But here's the reality. It's your choice. It's your choice. So my question this morning to you is, what will you choose? To live a life of holiness that's set apart? To walk in what you already are? Or choose to be unholy? I'm going to ask if you would to bow your heads. The The Bible says that Satan will accuse you. Satan says you're guilty. God says there's no more condemnation. Satan says you're nothing but a sinner, and God says you're no longer slave to sin. Satan says you're filthy and you're unclean, and God says, no, you're not. You're righteous because you're in me. Satan will say you're trapped. The Bible says, no, you've been set free. Satan will remind you of your past sins to make you want to run and hide. But God says, no, 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 you've been made right with me. So I have two invitations this morning, whether you're in the house or watching online, two invitations. The first one, let me speak to those of you who are Christians. Are you living a life set apart? Can people at your workplace, at school, on your ball team, in your sorority, in your fraternity, when you go shopping, at home, does people look at you and say, there's something different? There should be. You're chosen. You're a royalty. You're part of a holy, set-apart nation now. Examine yourself. And if you realize, you know, man, Pastor, I'm really not living I'm not a bad person, but I'm not really living a set-apart, holy life. You know what the good news is? Today you can choose. You can't go back and change last week, and you can't go back and change yesterday, but today's a new day. And today you can make a decision. I'm going to prepare my mind for the battle. I'm going to practice this, and I'm going to progress in the Word, and I'm going to protect the things around me to walk out this position that I am in Christ. And if that's you and you realize that you're not living a holy life, I hope today two things happen. One, you would understand positionally who you are in Christ. And two, just repent. Repent. Turn your mind towards holiness, which will turn your heart, which will turn your actions. That's what repentance is. And then for those of you who don't know Jesus, yeah, you may know him intellectually. That might be the reason why you're here, but you've never surrendered and said, take all of me. Take my life. Take everything I have. Break my addiction. Fix my marriage. Take over my fight. Lord, help me. I cannot do this apart from you. And today, maybe if you're watching online or here, that God spoke to you to let you know how much he loves you. And he wants you to be in his son, Jesus. So if that's you, you can pray with me. Now remember, saying a prayer don't save anybody. But my lips can proclaim what my heart declares. And if your heart would declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, then proclaim it from the rooftop with your lips. Just say, Jesus, I believe. I believe you came for me. I believe you died for me. And I believe you got up out of the grave for me. And today I'm going to surrender my life to you and repent of my sin. And thank you for placing me in your family. Thank you for guaranteeing me access to you. And thank you for setting me apart and making me holy. Now help me practice out the holiness and practice out the position that you just placed me in today. Now I'm going to believe in the house this morning, watch online. Some of you prayed that with me. And if that's you, could you do me a favor? Here's what I want you to do, because I want to pray for you. Will you say, Pastor, today I just gave my life to Jesus. I'm part of the family of God today. Will you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Come on, get it up. Awesome. Anybody else? Come on. That's awesome. People crossing over from death to life, being placed in Christ. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for us and pray over you. If you just stand to your feet as I pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for it so relevant that it applies to our life. Thank you, God, that we are chosen in your son, that we are righteous in your son, that, God, we are set apart in your son. It's because of him, not because of us. We are not good enough. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. And God, I thank you for the people today who raised their hand to show that they crossed from death to life, that you will bless them. You'll fill them with your presence. Fill them with a purpose, Lord. Change our lives. God, as we worship, I pray you inhabit the praises of your children. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.